Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 114. It's the week of Thanksgiving. 2010, and it's about 6:30 in the morning right now. Actually, I guess the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I'm headed to King William to serve as a timer for a 5K race that a friend of mine has is directing. It's an inaugural race. It's called the Cool Spring Turkey Trot Health and Fitness Fair, and it's at the It starts at the Cool Spring Primary Church Primary School in King William County, and King William has a lot of history because it's east of Hanover, and you know, as people migrated in after colonizing Virginia, you know, they set up homes in different places, and so King William has a lot of history. And matter of fact, the halfway mark of this 5K race is at a place called the Aquinton Church, which is one of four early colonial churches in America. And the King William Historical Society, at least according to the race pamphlet, which is where I got my information, is apparently that site dates back to 1690. It's been newly renovated, but apparently it dates back that far. That's 1690, as in, gosh, 400 years ago. About, no, not quite 400 years ago. Whatever. I never have claimed to be able to do public math, so whatever 2010 minus 1690, I guess that's 320 years ago. Is that right? Maybe not. Anyway, my friend Stephanie, and actually she's putting the race on with another person named Lee Hubbard. Yeah, both of them are, you know, race veterans. Lee's done numerous half marathons. I'm not sure if she's done a marathon. I think she might have. I used to work with her husband, Chris, and Stephanie's done several marathons. She's already done two this year. She did Marine Corps, did Richmond, did the same thing last year. So I guess she's done four. And this is her first time putting a race on. And I've had lots of email conversations with her. She's just kind of bounced ideas back. And I'm certainly not a source of information for her, but I participated in enough races where I was able to give her some ideas and feedback. The course is a little bit of a, I think there's a hill on the course that she was a little bit worried about, but I think as she consulted with police out there, and in order to keep the race course as safe as possible, as well as kind of keep it along a historic route, they're going to deal with the hill. Now, the biggest problem I'm having right now is I've got a full water bottle in my car, and every time I make a turn, it keeps toppling over because my cup holders aren't deep enough. Anyway, I'm headed out Route 54 East. It's going to take me about 40 minutes to get to the race. I won't be talking the whole time. I'll take some breaks here and there, but I'm seeing a beautiful sunrise, and it's pretty cold. It's, well, my temperature in my car says 44 degrees, and I brought gloves because I think they need some help setting up cones and whatnot. So the main reason I wanted to come out here and help was kind of self-serving a little bit. I mean, that's just being honest. I want to learn how to do race timing and what it entails. And I know I'm not going to get a full appreciation for a large race with a smaller 5K, although I think they have a couple hundred participants out here. I guess we'll find out. But, you know, as I've said before, I'm going to be involved in a leadership position for putting on the Ashland Railroad Run 10K, which we've got a date now. It's going to be April 30th of 2011. So I'm essentially kind of counting down the days between to that. And I'm kind of co-chairing it with my friend Rodney's wife, whose name is Tamara. we might be able to recruit maybe a third chair so we can have some tri-chairs. But I'll be in a leadership position for that, and Tamara and I are going to work together. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to do everything, because we're going to definitely spread the wealth and you know, hopefully enjoy the success of the race together. We're going to have a committee, and I'll get into that in a different podcast about the railroad run and the history behind that. I think it's either the 33rd or 34th year, so it's a long tradition in Ashland not to screw it up. So there's a lot of pressure there. But anyway, Stephanie and Lee have worked real hard to get sponsors and get the cooperation in the community, and I'm just so glad that they're going to have good weather this morning for this race, because you know, rain can really dampen everybody's spirits when they're trying to put something on. And I can't be, you know, I'm pretty excited to come out and be volunteering. Now, as I said a second ago, my intentions coming out here are a bit self-serving, and I'll explain that. I want to learn how to do the race timing, not only so I'll have a better idea of when we do the railroad run, what it entails, because last year, well, I'll talk about what happened last year in a different podcast. The timing got a little messed up. So I want to learn how to do it, where, you know, what it entails. And today I'm going to be just kind of an apprentice. I'm sure I'll just have a subordinate role, and it won't be anything terribly important, but I'll at least get to watch. And I'm going to be doing it with two veterans who have done timing time and time again on races, Bill Webb and Carl Cover, longtime members of the Richmond Roadrunners, I guess the board and the running community. And I happen to know, I don't know Carl that well, but I know Bill because he used to live a couple houses down from me before he moved. He has done, I think he is at, matter of fact, I know he's at every single Richmond Roadrunners race that happens. Because he used to have the big truck that had Richmond Roadrunners on the side parked at his house on Fridays, you know, before a race. And he's the cone guy, sets up the course, always at the finish line, you know, always reliable. So I'm going to learn from some of the best. And the reason for that is because and I think I might have mentioned this in a previous podcast, when we did the Tiger Trot a couple weeks ago in Ashland, a little 5K for the local Parent Teacher Association at John Gandy and Henry Clay Elementary Schools, it seemed to me that doing timing was not that hard. So I'm going to learn what it really entails. There goes my water bottle again. I think I'll just put it in the seat or put it in my lap. So. And that guy got paid $400 for less than 4 hours work. And it just seemed to me a possible opportunity in the future, if I can learn how to do it, to you know, have a little side business or something. And once my daughter gets old enough to know how all that works, it might even be something we could do together. I don't know. It was just a brainstormed idea. I don't know if it'll ever come to fruition. I discussed it with my dad, and he immediately said that he would help with buying some equipment if that's something I wanted to do, and kind of make an investment. And I thought, well, maybe I should probably learn how to operate everything first and see what it entails, and see what the technology is, and see how different people do it. So that's why, in some ways, it's self-serving. And I did explain that to Stephanie, and I think she understood. And as a result, because we're good friends, she found a place for me to help with the timing. Because I think Carl and Bill probably could have handled it themselves, because they're pretty good at it. But it was real nice of her to kind of let them know that I wanted to show up and help and kind of learn how to do it. So that's that. That's the self-serving part. The other part is it's fun, kind of fun to go out and help out a friend who's trying to put on a big event in her community, which I think is great. You know, she feels her community, you know, she feels about her community the way I feel about mine in Ashland for the most part. And I think it's great to, it feels good right now just to be going out here and helping somebody. And then, of course, we can have lots of laughs afterwards. I'm sure she'll be glad when it's over. But I'm just so glad the weather's good. And then also just volunteering in general to help have an event go well is definitely the right thing to do. And I probably participate more than I volunteer, but what I have decided that is I'm going to attempt to try to get involved with a little bit more with some of these smaller things at the finish line to kind of see how it works, like I said, just to kind of get an idea of what we need to do for the railroad run if we want to make any changes, because I really don't have a whole lot of knowledge of how the finish line works. I know, and this is non-chip timing racing, so what you need is you got to have somebody calling out the bib number, somebody writing it down with the time, or no, then I think you click the button when that I don't know. I know how you got to line everything up in a database, because it was a big disaster last year at the railroad run. All right, so we'll see how it goes. I'm still got plenty of time before I got to be there, and one thing I'm a little disappointed about is that our local AM radio station that has a bluegrass show on in the morning is not up yet, and by the time it comes up, I will be out of range, so I won't be able to listen to it. So, and I didn't bring anything else to listen to, so I guess that's why I'm probably podcasting. And on a more non-race personal note, I'm pretty pleased with my training up to this point. I'm working on getting a 20 miles a week base. I did, what have I done this week? I did 5, 6, and 5. I think I've got 16. And I did a 6-miler Thursday, did 5 miles Friday, back-to-back days, which I don't normally do. And I feel pretty good. I tell you, though, when I get up in the morning, my whole body, it just hurts. I don't know if it's because of my age or not. And I did start getting some gray hair, so I cut all my hair off. I didn't shave it, but I cut most of it off. I talked about that in the barbershop podcast, I think. But I'm pretty pleased with my mileage. How it's getting to a point where I can go out and do 5 miles and I'm not winded. I feel good. I'm not doing the intervals, the run walking. I'm running the whole time. I'm not taking a walk break. And the purpose behind that was because I wanted to be able to get up to a double digit without the walking. And I'm going to continue to work on that until I get to 10 miles where I'm just running the whole way. And then what I'll do is I'll work on when I get to these longer distances. It's really just more time on the feet. And I think I am going to stick with trying the 5 and 5 when I do that IC8 in February, which is an 8-hour endurance run, just to see how many miles I can cover doing that with that time interval. And then maybe I can kind of extrapolate that to possibly 50 miles. Because and the reason is I think with a flat course, I might be able to actually stick with an interval. I mean, when I did the 50-miler at the Algonquin Regional Park up in Northern Virginia with the terrain, the terrain of the course, there was just no way to do an interval. You kind of just had to walk the uphills and run everything else until your feet fell apart, which is what happened. So I'm pretty pleased. I'm on a upswing with that. I'm feeling very good about that. It's taken me a while to get to start feeling better about my running with getting that base. And I know my friend Ashlyn Bob has put out in an email that he is looking for people to run with on Saturdays because his spring marathon training has started. And he wants people to run with. And I was a little disappointed that I couldn't run with him this morning because I'm going out to volunteer for this race. But I'll catch up with him soon. And I'm glad to hear that he's going to do another one, because your second marathon is not always the same as your first, but it still feels good to cross that finish line. That's pretty good. 8 people come through. Winning time is like 19:37. Here comes this guy's rolling.
David.
All right. Is that the guy you're talking about earlier, David Smith?
258.
All right.
All right, Dave. Good job, man. 2-0.
That's right. Keep on going. You all right? He's 70. He's not. He doesn't count. 76? I don't know. Did he?
Yes, he ran twice, I think.
All right. All right, the race is over. And what I'm doing now is I'm actually checking out the course. I was kind of curious what it was because I heard there was a big hill on it. Winning time was 19:37, and I think the first eight actually came in inside 21 minutes, and I think there were 112 finishers, something like that. Oh, yeah, this is a long hill here. The reason I want to go down and check out the course, not only because of the hill, oh boy, this is a steep hill, is I want to see this historical church down here at the turnaround. It's the Aquinton Historical Church, and that's spelled A-C-Q-U-I-N-T-O-N, which was reportedly built around 1690, like I mentioned earlier. And it's been renovated, I think, and there's a historical society that manages it and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's a significant hill. But boy, there's some pretty views along this route. I think they did pretty good. I had a good time at the finish. Met a few new people, and talked to Carl Cover, who is a local ultra runner in the Ashland area. I haven't really ever had a conversation with him. I just kind of knew who he was, and we talked a little. I don't know if this is it right here. And we talked a little ultra running. He's done. Did the JFK last year. Give you an idea. He ran 309. Okay, here he ran 309 in Richmond. This must be it right here. Wow, this is pretty cool. That's definitely an old looking church. It's the kind of church that's got like real old looking brick, kind of like they've covered it with some like smearing concrete around it to kind of hold it together. And let's see what it says here. It says this is a colonial church built in 1734, is what it says. Aquinton Church. The colonial church built in 1734. Although owned by the Episcopalians, it was used by various denominations as a meeting house prior to 1888, when it was sold to the Methodists. A deed conveying the property is recorded in King William Courthouse. For some reason, I thought it was 1690 was the year. Anyway, that's what it said in the race pamphlet. Anyway, that's it. It's an out and back. It has a significant hill on it, but I think they wanted to include the turnaround at this church because it was historical. Anyway, I had a pretty good time overall. I enjoyed working the finish line. Wasn't a real huge race, but it was significant enough where, you know, felt like there was a lot of people out there. They're doing the door prizes now. I don't really know anybody there that much, so I decided to get in the car and go home. I want to get home before 12. My daughter's got a swim meet this afternoon, so we'll be spending the rest of the afternoon inside. So I wanted to get home and blow some leaves off the driveway. All right, so the setup at the finish line was we had the race clock. The race started. Carl and I both had what they call a time machine, and you hit the start time. That is actually the official time. The clock is pretty close to that, in other words, because Bill Webb was the guy that brought all the equipment out from Richard Roadrunners, and what he did is once the time machines hit 2 minutes, he had the race clock set up for two, and then he just hit start. So your actual finish official time is a small timing device that sits on a small podium right there at the finish line with a clicker that you click when somebody crosses the finish line. Me and Carl did that, so there's two of those. The kind of one's a check on the other, because what happens is you have these little race bandits that come through there, and you click them by accident. Well, once you realize they're not a real, because you had a kids run and they didn't have different colored bibs, although the race numbers were under two. It was like the regular 5K people were over 200 on the race numbers on the bibs, and everything else was for the kids. But we didn't know that until about halfway through when we were advised. And then you had two people with clipboards farther down the finishing chute recording the bib numbers. Of course, you have the people that come in with the bib numbers on the back. Can't see them, crumpled up on a sweatshirt. And then you had one spotter. And so the spotter was the one that was calling out the bib numbers, which the people with the clipboards could pretty much see them for themselves because it wasn't a whole lot of people coming in all at one time. Although we did have a group of, I think, four or five that came in all together, so you had to click them through. So really the real work starts afterwards when we run the printout from the time machine, and then that has to go over to the person that has all the the data in a database or a spreadsheet for the runners, the people that are registered, and then start locking in finishing time with bib numbers so they can or in place so they can then print out a report and do the results. And that's really what takes so long, and that's what the problem was last year at the railroad run. But I wanted to get a little better understanding of how it worked, and what I really wanted to do was go inside where the other race director, Lee, was entering that data. But I just didn't really want to crowd around. There's other, you know, lots of people get antsy and want to know the results, and I, you know, I was just there volunteering. I didn't really wanted to go in there and make her feel any pressure. So I pretty much just left. And I got a free T-shirt out of the whole thing. But it was a pretty good experience. I got a little bit better idea of how things work at the finish. That's something I've always kind of been interested in a little bit. And Bill Webb actually offered the use of one of the older clocks they have for this unofficial turkey trot that we might do in Ashland on Thanksgiving morning. Not sure yet. Tom Grant's trying to find somebody to do that. I don't know if that's something I want to take on. It's really just for kids. And the funny thing is, in Ashland, you can pretty much send out an email the night before and get a whole lot of people to show up to something. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I had a real good time. I'm on my way home now. Had a pretty good time. I'm glad I went out there to help. They had a great inaugural event. And there was a lot more serious runners out there than I thought. And it turned out to be real good, so I was really happy for them. And overall, it was a great event. I was glad I was part of it. All right, let's take a look at the email bag. Got a lot of emails and some comments on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send that at ashlanddave, or send it to ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'm happy to receive emails. Try to keep them brief if you can, so I can hit on as much of it as I can in the podcast. And I try to get to those as soon as I can after you send it to me. I try to get it in the next episode. So feel free to send me an email if you want to got a comment about the show, or just want to say anything at all about the show. I heard from Sandy out of Michigan. And she actually commented on the barbershop episode. I don't think she necessarily goes to a barbershop, but her husband does. And they've got a local barbershop. And it just so happens that there's the barber at that barbershop is an Ironman and a marathoner, which has got to be pretty cool. But I think she wrote that he's in his 70s. I saw that somewhere in the email. So he's one of them real tough old dudes. There's also was another about two blocks from where she works. They filmed the movie Gran Torino with Clint Eastwood at another barbershop up there. And that was the one from the movie. So that's pretty cool. That was really neat to hear that, Sandy. I really appreciate you sending that email. Sandy's going to be running the Flying Pig Marathon May 1st, 2011. That's got a 6:30 a.m. start, and that's in Ohio. And she's trying to get in three spring marathons so she can get into Marathon Maniacs. And Sandy, I think it's three within 90 days or 3 months, or it might be a strict 90 days, I'm not sure. That's how I first got in, and I'm Maniac number 1319. And I thought that was pretty cool. So I got my Marathon Maniac swag, you know, and I do wear one of the shirts at the marathons that I do, because that way you can see other maniacs and it's people to talk to. You kind of have this immediate connection with them. And you see them all through the race. They're fast, they're slow, they're in the middle. That's the kind of cool thing about it. And you know that they've paid their dues. Regardless of where you see them in the pack, you know somebody who's wearing a Maniac shirt has definitely paid their dues. Maybe the absolute minimum to get in is 2 in 2 weeks or 2 in 13 days or something like that. But I know I got in for 3 in 3 months. And Sandy, I hope that you make that also. And good luck with the Flying Pig. I'm sure we'll email before then. Oh, Sandy, you had mentioned at one point in one of the emails that we had exchanged that you'd asked if my wife was a runner, and wasn't sure if I had mentioned it before. Yes, she is. She's more of a triathlete, I would say. She doesn't do the long runs. She's a swimmer big time. Well, you know, for working out, not competing. And cycling. She likes to do that. She is not as big on the running because of her knees, but she can do enough to do a sprint triathlon, which is her distance, her choice of distances. And we have so much fun when we've been out there watching them. So I would call her a triathlete simply because she has done them. And I think she wants to do three coming up in 2011, so that should be pretty exciting. And if you've never been to a triathlon, or if you have a friend or somebody that you want to go out and support, they're a lot of fun to watch because you can hang out at the transition stations and see that you see your participant, and they're a lot of fun. So Sandy, she's kind of not really a runner, more of a swimmer and a cyclist. But she's out, man. She's up almost every day at 5 a.m. doing something. Well, I think she's going to the gym. I mean, that's what she says she's doing. I hope she's going to the gym. That's what she does. So thanks for the email. And as always, good to hear from you. Let's see. Heard from Shelly. Shelly's been a longtime listener to the podcast and a good friend. Shelly was on the half marathon team that I coached a couple of years ago here in Ashland for the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. And she listened to episode 112, which was Stories from Richmond. She's very sorry to hear about Crash. She's kind of followed him through the podcast. And Shelly also commented on the Courthouse Trail. That was the one that I talked about how it was just awful. I felt like I was just slogging along. And Shelly also has become an official half fanatic as of Saturday before Richmond, which is the junior group of Marathon Maniacs. She did two half marathons in 6 days. One was Huntington, West Virginia on November 7th, and then the Richmond half marathon here in Virginia on November 13th. And she actually, personal record in Huntington, 2 hours, 8 minutes, 33 seconds, which is simply outstanding. And Shelly uses the Galloway method, which I'm going to mention here in a little bit, Shelly. I don't know if after the email bag you want to stick around and listen. I'm going to talk about Jeff Galloway and the program he's bringing to Richmond. Shelly actually bought me Galloway's book, and I started doing some of the run walking myself for some of the marathon distances, the distances past the marathon distance. She did a 4-1 PR. She said she never felt better ever in a race. She came back from each walk break energized, kept passing people, but it was a small race. She said only 1,700 runners with the full half and the 5 mile walk, and it was on a flat course in the Ohio Valley. And I know one thing, when I think of West Virginia, I do not think of flat. She had threw out there that if a 50 stater is looking for a West Virginia race, this is definitely the one to do because it's the only flat marathon in West Virginia. She ran a little bit slower at Richmond because she was a little sore for a few days. But she did it purely for fun and actually took some shots of beer from, there's some great, if you're not familiar with the Richmond Marathon, there's a couple places out there where guys offer you beer. And I always hear from folks, not necessarily related to the podcast, that actually take these, you know, drink beer from these guys. I personally don't trust anybody that won't adulterize my beer or something. But Shelly did, and she said that they were out there on Fauquier Avenue with the sign that says they're drinkers with the running problem, and that was around mile 9, and she said she didn't have any trouble drinking the beer. So that's probably cool. Actually, if they had a sign like that, maybe they wouldn't pour anything in there. So Shelly's doing another half end of February 2011, which is one in Williamsburg near the Anheuser-Busch Brewery. And Shelly definitely got a beard thing there. So all the best to you. Thanks for the email. And stay in touch. It was really good to hear from you. I was excited to see your email and reply back to you. Let's see. Got another comment on the website from Meriwether, which was episode 112, Stories from the Richmond Marathon. Meriwether has her own, what she does is she actually writes a column for our local paper. And I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes. I'm going to make a note. She's always writing about different stuff in Ashland. It's a really good article. She always writes good articles. And I think she's starting to listen to the podcast now. She's finally subscribed through iTunes. So I'll probably get regular comments from her that I'll have to address and comment on. Because she's very witty and she's always got funny things to say. But she thought it was really cool that Chris in Georgia listened to the Shamrock podcast. Because the Shamrock podcast was actually about Meriwether. And my friend Ashlyn Bob and Brian, gosh, who else ran? I think Tom ran with us that day. I can't remember which episode that was, but if you go back and if you're interested, that was a real good podcast, if I don't mind saying myself. I really did enjoy putting that one together because it was about some first-timers, and we really just had a great day. Everybody got through the rough patches, bitched each other out, and we all crossed the finish line at the same time. It was a lot of fun. And Meriwether, thanks for listening to the show, and thanks for commenting on episode 112. And if you want to comment on the show, remember you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com or send me an email, ashlanddave@gmail.com. Also heard from Snuggy Bear, who's part of my Team Incognito group, and he was just throwing out a suggestion. He found a 50-miler in New Jersey in March that's a trail race that's pretty flat. He was able to check. It's part of the New Jersey Trail Series, New Jersey Ultra Running Festival. And John, that's what Snuggy Bear's real name is, John. I appreciate you sending that, and I have checked it out, and I'm actually in kind of negotiations a little bit with figuring out if that's something that I want to try out, because, you know, I could do two. We're kind of set on going to Key West, my wife is at least, you know, making a vacation and out of it. So we'll probably get down to one way or the other. But that doesn't mean that driving up to New Jersey in March, I have to check my on-call schedule at work. But I really do appreciate you suggesting that, and it's nice that you're kind of looking out, man. I appreciate that. Also got another comment on the website on the decline of the American Barbershop, which was episode 113. It was a special edition, if you didn't know that. That's from Bert, and he's got a blog at cbertrun.blogspot.com, which I'll put a Seabert Run. Put that in the show notes, too, at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Bert wrote that he never really thought much about it, but it brought back a lot of memories, and he remembers his dad taking him to the barbershop and all the older guys hanging around telling stories, and it is. It's a part of small-town history that's kind of disappearing, Bert. I really appreciate you recognizing that, and I really do thank you for listening to the show. You've been a long-time listener, and good to hear from you on the website there. Appreciate it. I heard from a new listener, Natalia, and she lives in Iowa, but she used to live in Roanoke, Virginia, which is kind of a small world because that's where I used to live some years ago. Roanoke Valley, which is a part of Virginia, not really southwest Virginia, but it's southwest of where I live in the Richmond area. It's a beautiful part of Virginia. It really is. But anyway, Natalie's been listening since January. She started running in January of last year, and so that's when she started listening. So she's been listening to it almost a whole year. The first time she's written in, really likes the show, appreciates it a lot. And she said she tried really, really hard to resist the blister picks. But after listening to the November 14th show, she said she just had to see a picture of my feet. And so I sent those on to her, which everybody else is welcome to see those. If you want to see what moisture added to heat, added to friction looks like after 12 hours and 48 minutes over the course of 50 miles, then send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com requesting the blister pictures. So I'm not going to say it's going to change your life, but it might convince you to take care of your feet if you ever try to do something like an ultra light for that distance, if you have sensitive feet. So after I sent her the pictures, Natalie wrote back, wow, that looked awful. I'm glad your feet healed from that and you're able to run again. So, and happy Thanksgiving. It's the same to you, Natalia. Appreciate you writing in. And hopefully you weren't disappointed with the pictures. So, all right, good to hear from you. Dirt Dog checked in. Mike from Dirt Dog's Running Diatribe, Rambling Diatribe, which will be on the website too. I'll put a link to his podcast. His is one of I listen to his podcast every time it comes out, so y'all check it out. And the best cure for a hangover, Mike, running 6 miles. Totally, man. If you want to forget about your headache, just go out there and run 6 miles, and then you just kind of sludge your way through it, and your problems are not going to be your head anymore after that. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. Chris from Georgia checked in on the website. He's got a blog at runningafterdaylight.com, which I'll put in the show notes also. And he was just thanking for being mentioned on the show, and he was really, really digging the podcast. He took me along for a 14-miler, listened to a couple of back episodes of the Shamrock Marathon. And, Chris, it's funny because Meriwether, she checked in also in an earlier comment on the website, and she's one of the stars of the Shamrock Marathon that we ran. And she's going to run that again in March, which is cool. And anyway, Chris, appreciate you taking the time to, appreciate your comment. Yeah, go on and check his out at ashlanddave.podbean.com. It was pretty cool what he wrote. If you want to know what he wrote, you can go check it out. And Chris, I appreciate you taking the time to type out the comments and send it in. That's cool that you did that, and that everybody takes the time to comment on the show, because it is a lot of fun to put it together. And sometimes when you get, when there's an absence of email or absence of comments on the site, you wonder if anybody's listening. Not that I need that constant reaffirmation or anything, but it really does help and motivate me to not only put out another show, but to want to get out there and run. So I have some subject matters that I'm experiencing, some training runs, and having difficulties and having some successes that I can share with anybody that's willing to listen. So I really do appreciate people taking the time to do that, and I'll leave that as that. I'm going to talk about Jeff Galloway here in just a second, but there's a couple upcoming races I wanted to mention. Some stuff that I'm thinking about either being involved in or running. Let's see, December 5th, there's the Bear Creek 10-miler. That's in Cumberland State Forest, Bear Creek Lake State Park, which is about an hour west of the Richmond area. I've only done that one time, that specific race. It's a good event. It's limited to just over 100 people, I think, because of just parking at the state park. I ran that same trail a second time when I did a Swinging Bridge 50K a couple of years, or yeah, 2 years ago. That's a good event. Be good to volunteer for, because they always need people that are willing to drive out that far. And I'm thinking about actually going out there and helping with that, because I have friends that'll run that. Also, there's a 5K coming up on December 12th called the Toys for Tots 5K. That's in Innsbruck, which is a totally flat course. And as a matter of fact, the reason I bring that up is because that course, I think, is the same actual 5K route of the Henrico 5K, which is my 5K PR. So I might go out there and help out for that one way or the other, not sure. I'm trying to get some more experience at the finish line of some of these races. Just kind of, see the logistics and learn from it. So maybe I'll explore that. Of course, there's the Swinging Bridge trail runs, which are 35K and 50K option, January 15th. And let me talk about Jeff Galloway. Jeff Galloway is bringing his program to the Richmond area. And there's an informational meeting on December 4th at 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. That's a Saturday morning, and that's at the Roadrunner store, running store in Carytown, which is in the city of Richmond. And if nothing else, I might go down there just to listen to him. I probably won't join the program because I'm going to be doing run walking for my ultra in the spring, so obviously I'll be practicing that, and it might be good to listen to the pro about that. I've got his book. Once I kind of embraced the idea of taking walk breaks, I didn't really care anymore after that what people thought of me, because I was able to go as longer than I could have imagined, and felt pretty decent doing it, with the exception of my feet falling apart at the 50 miler. But that's a different that's a whole different subject. But anyway, I want to announce that. I mean, it's already been announced on the Richmond Roadrunners website. But anyway, Jeff Galloway will be at the Richmond Roadrunners store December 4th. And if you don't know who Jeff Galloway is, he's an Olympian and an accomplished marathoner. And now he's devoted his life to helping other people achieve that goal, which I think is pretty cool. All right, well, that's the show for this week. Coming in just under around 40 minutes, I think, which is pretty good. And anyway, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good 2 weeks.